With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Championship Roundtable podcast. I'm your host, James Vickers. You can find us on Twitter at Championship Pod, and you can also follow my personal Twitter, which is @_James Vickers.
Hello, my name is Louis Shackshaft. I'm a Sheffield Wednesday fan. I regularly do blogging and articles. I'm a frequently published writer. Also do many Sheffield Wednesday statistics. You can find me on Twitter at Louis Shackshaft or visit my website, which is also my name, louisshackshaft.com.
Hi, I'm Lewis Hobbs and I represent Sheffield United on the podcast, and you can follow me on Twitter @_LH9_.
Yeah, cheers for joining me today, guys. We had a more or less a full fixture list yesterday in the Championship. The game that should have gone ahead today between Derby and Cardiff obviously was called off at the last minute, and I know Neil Warnock in particular was very unhappy about that. But to sort of run us through the Saturday results, first of all, obviously Fulham and QPR in the London Derby drew 2-2. Millwall won 2-0 away at Barnsley and carried on their great run that they've been on. Birmingham City got a much-needed win at home to fellow relegation sort of strugglers Hull City, 3-0. Brentford and Middlesbrough drew 1-1. Bristol beat Ipswich 1-0. Leeds got beat 2-1 at home to Sheffield Wednesday, which I'm sure you were delighted about, Louis.
Oh, yes.
Norwich beat Reading 3-2. Sheffield United, which is good for Preston, drew 0-0 with Nottingham Forest. Preston won 2-0 away at Sunderland. Wolves beat Burton 3-1 and Bolton beat Aston Villa 1-0. We'll come to you first, Louis. Are there any sort of fixtures or results in there that stand out for you over the course of the weekend?
There were a couple of surprises. The first one, if I'm honest, is Bolton's huge win over Villa. I know Villa have slipped up recently, the last couple of weeks. And I know Bolton are obviously at home. But to get a 1-0 victory is fantastic boost for them. Obviously, it gives them a bit of a lifeline. I know Adam Lafondra scored after about 20 minutes, I believe, a bit of a poacher's goal. But that was a bit of a surprise because, of, like I say, Villa have, yes, they're off the boil at the bit of the minute, but Bolton's victory, that's obviously not guaranteed them safety, but that was a huge, huge boost for them. And I think we were touching on off air that Bolton, not on a huge run, but they're unbeaten in 3 games now, I believe. Is that right, James?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, only 1 defeat in 7, which thankfully came against Preston. But, you know, they've turned it round massively from where they were sort of about a month ago.
Yeah, so I think Bolton, yeah, they seem to have the edge and it's come at the right time for them. And that should, like I mentioned, it's not guaranteed them safety yet, but that's definitely give them a boost. From my perspective, a surprise was Wednesday's victory, because we've been so poor lately that the 2-1 victory away to Leeds, Nuiu got a brace there. That's our first league double over Leeds United since 1958, so hell of a time to wait. But yeah, if I'm honest, I didn't predict a Wednesday win, so that was a nice surprise for me. And it's our first win at Elland Road in 11 years and our first away win for our new boss, Jos Luhukay. So that was, like I say, from my perspective, fantastic. If anything, I'd have been happy with a point there. But if I'm honest, the best win and the most impressive win for me was actually Birmingham. And I've been slating Birmingham so much on this podcast of late that it's actually nice to see them turn it round. Gary Monk's obviously arrived at Birmingham. And if I'm honest, I've watched back the highlights and, they could have won 5-6-0 yesterday. They went out and won 3-0, Jota with a brace there. But that essentially was a 6-pointer that game. A huge lifeline again for them as well as Bolton. And a huge victory. Yes, they're still, I believe, 22nd in the league. But if they hadn't have won yesterday, they'd have still been, rooted at the bottom with Sunderland, let's say. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Birmingham as the best win and most impressive, because they didn't just win the game, they turned up, and like I say, they could have, well, they could have scored as many as they wanted to yesterday. Hull were really poor, so I do worry for them, but that was, for me, the biggest win of the weekend.
Yeah, obviously you mentioned the Birmingham-Hull game there. We are getting to the stage of the season now where there are sort of quite a few six-pointers coming up. You know, that being one of them, and I was really impressed by the way Birmingham came out, and Hull, who've been on a fantastic run sort of the last few weeks, as we covered last week, and it seems to be every time we touch on a team down the bottom, the next week they go and have a good result. Obviously, we touched on Sunderland. Yeah. They got the good result against Bristol City, drawing 3-3. Birmingham, you know, we touched on last week about being more or less dead and buried, but they come out and get the win against Hull. Do you see that as the start of them turning it round, or do you think that's merely just a flash in the pan and then they'll go back to sort of form sort of after the international break?
I think, if I'm honest, it just got to a stage where they've appointed Monk at the right time. There's obviously, four or five clubs down there who are really struggling week by week to pick any points up at all. So even at this stage, for those teams down there, the draw's been quite good because it's, you know, got them closer to safety. This is one of those seasons where I think maybe even 39 points might guarantee safety. And it sounds stupid, but I think Birmingham are on 33 now, and I can certainly see with Monk arriving that Birmingham will slowly but surely creep out of that bottom three. And yes, they might finish 20th, 21st, but I think that they will stay safe, if I'm honest.
Yeah, and to come on to you, Lewis, obviously a draw for Sheffield United yesterday. Sort of touch on that game a little for us. And were there any games in particular for you over the course of the weekend that stuck out?
Yeah, so just touching on Sheffield United's performance. So we've surely got to have been one of the most inconsistent teams this year. It's getting ridiculous now. We're coming into games. So like recently we've come off quite a few impressive victories, like your Leeds, and even going to Ipswich and getting a 0-0 draw there. That seemed quite a rewarding result, because we put the pressure on through the entire game, and Mick McCarthy organised the team well for that full game, and he knew what he had to do to try and get a result. Against Forest yesterday, we didn't have the same team spirit going forward at all. Yeah, how clinical we've been in front of goal, and I don't know if you've seen, but Leon Clark missed an absolute sitter, which just shows and proves how he's not in form anymore. Billy Sharp, who 9 times out of 10 finishes when he's in that 6-yard box, he'll bury those chances. And we missed and squandered silly chances. And I think definitely yesterday showed how crucial Mark Duffy is to our system, because Mark Duffy wasn't on it. And to me, he looked very tired. He couldn't really get going. His passing was abysmal, really. And it just shows how crucial he is, because if he can't get running, then the rest of the team can't either. Moving on to other fixtures, I agree with what Lewis said with Bolton. They have obviously been on a really good run of form, but they kind of did get Villa on a good patch for them. Well, obviously Villa coming off the embarrassing loss to QPR. So I think Bolton caught them quite at a good time, but again, I agree what I said with Birmingham, because not only is it a six-pointer, but Hull have just come off three massive victories. The last three games getting 9 points. So Hull were the informed team going into this. And I know they started the campaign really bad, but they've started picking up results under Nigel Atkins, who I've mentioned in previous podcasts. I can't stand the man. He gave me the worst time of supporting United when he was manager there. But I think Monk coming in, it might be too late. The appointment there might be too late for Monk. I think if they could have got him in a few games before, then he might start getting the team running. But obviously a 3-0 convincing victory, maybe he's got those players like Che Adams and Jota finally up to pace, and Whether they'll go down, I'm unsure. I think, obviously, your Sunderland and Burton probably hands down already down, and there's not much saving them. But up and around, you've got Burton, you've got Hull, not Bolton, Birmingham, Hull, Reading, who are getting now dragged into the race. So it's really unpredictable who's going to go down.
Yeah, obviously, you sort of touched on the Birmingham result again there as probably the standout result of the weekend. One of the games I wanted to touch on was probably, I'd say, after 45 minutes, you would have thought it would be comprehensive, which is Fulham against QPR. Obviously, Fulham went 2-0 up in the first half, and just before half-time, Luongo manages to get one back for QPR. And, you know, with the run that Fulham have been on, obviously, they played Preston the other week and snatched the sort of the game and the 3 points right at the death. Mitrovic, sort of, as I mentioned, you know, we hate playing against him, and he came back to haunt us yet again. When it was 2-0 Fulham, you would have thought, you know, they've got that know-how these days to hold on. So I was quite impressed with the way QPR came back, and, you know, the equaliser, albeit it was a mistake from, I think it was Odoi at the back, you know, that comes with getting in Fulham's faces and really pressuring them. So I think QPR definitely had one of the sort of the standout performances of the weekend, especially for their second half performance. You know, they completely nullified Fulham and, you know, made them look sort of quite average at times. So definitely the QPR result is one that I wanted to touch on. Just sort of to move on back to your game, Louis, obviously winning 2-1 away at Leeds, obviously it's a derby match. More so from the Leeds perspective, it seems to be a recurring theme sort of each season that, you know, up until Christmas, they'll be in and around the playoffs. And this has been the case for the last few years. And then sort of after Christmas into the business end of the season, they tend to tail off. Sort of what do you reckon is that's down to, in your opinion? Is there sort of an underlying factor each season about why they keep dropping off, or is it just down to bad luck?
Ultimately, and I don't want to sound harsh, I think it's just that Leeds United aren't good enough. And I don't mean that in an awful way. I just think, like I always keep saying, I'm a firm believer in the league table doesn't lie. And for me, you look at the Leeds United squad, yes, they have got good individuals. But again, you know, they're where they deserve to be in the league. Firstly, the Christiansen sacking came a bit as a surprise for me. I mean, I know I'm looking from an outside perspective. I'm a Wednesday fan, and I really thought it had been given to the end of the season because I didn't think he was doing too badly. However, you know, you could ask a Leeds fan and they'd tell you something different. I mean, the expectations at Leeds United and, you know, dare I say it, they are probably, with Aston Villa, one of the biggest clubs in the league. So the expectations are so high. Yet this league, as we all know, everyone on this podcast, this league is so competitive, it is unreal. And I think that is what one of the reasons, and it simply boils down to that fact, where they keep falling short. Yes, they're probably around 6th, 7th at Christmas, and then, like you say, they continue to drop off. But for me, that is simply because they're just not quite good enough. They, like every club in this league, they need a 20-25 a season goal scorer. I know, obviously, they had Woods, but he's gone on to Burnley. And for me, where they keep getting it wrong, potentially, is, like you've said, they keep sacking managers. Heckingbottom, yes, he's not had a particularly good start. However, for me, it's a bit like Luhukay at Wednesday. I can relate to it. He needs to be given time. He's obviously got the summer coming up where he can bring in the players he wants. He's got a transfer window. You know, he should be judged as of next season. And potentially, you know, I can't tell what's going to happen in the future. But with time, I can really see Heckingbottom getting Leeds United into the top six. But at this stage, like I say, the league table doesn't lie, and I just simply don't think they're good enough. As are same with Sheffield Wednesday. We deserve to be exactly where we are, and I'm sure you both will agree with me.
Yeah, completely. I think from sort of me looking into Leeds United at the moment, I think, you know, it's a couple of factors. Obviously, chopping and changing the manager never helps. You know, each manager that comes in is working with a previous manager's group of players, and, you know, that's one of the reasons why sort of Preston have been so successful over the last few years. Obviously, Simon Grayson was there for a number of years, able to build his squad And, you know, that's the most successful period we've had over the past sort of 10, sort of 15 years. You know, and it's no coincidence that you give a manager time and, you know, more often than not, they manage eventually to get it right once they've got their own players in and able to play the way they want to play in a position or a system that suits the players that they've got. So I think definitely the chopping and changing of the managers doesn't help. I think as well, and not to sound sort of too brutal, I think there is a sense of sort of, especially from Leeds fans, that they still believe they are this, you know, massive club you know, they're still a sort of a global name that you associate with the Premier League, but obviously football is, you're only as good as your last game. And, you know, Leeds United at the moment are sort of a mid-table championship team. Obviously they've got the history behind them and, you know, you can't sort of disregard that. But I think definitely, you know, over the last 10 or so years, there's been a real sort of downward spiral at Leeds, and it is going to sort of take a lot of time to get that right. It's not going to be a sort of a quick overnight fix that, you know, many of the fans had hoped it'd be. But yeah, that's just my sort of personal opinion on it. What would be yours, Lewis's? Is there anything you want to add on to this?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I agree with both of what you're saying, obviously, like the chopping and changing of managers. I think in the past 3 years alone, Heckingbottom's the fourth or fifth manager. And especially in the Championship, if a manager's going to eventually take you to the Premier League, you need more than one season. Miracles do happen, but more often than not, they don't. And obviously, Leeds, the way Leeds has been ran over the past 10 years, just under so many owners, like after Chiellino went this season, all the Leeds fans thought they were getting something, they were getting a refresh approach with Radrizzana, and I don't think he's brought that at all. Obviously, but the majority of the signings that they've made this season, word has it that it's this Victor Rota, their director of football, that he, again, with Thomas Christensen, he pushed forward all the transfers, and Thomas Christensen didn't really get a look in. So I think when that's happening at the club, when there's a director of football practically running the transfer window for you, as a manager, there's not much you can do with that. Where's the signings that Christensen can put to make it his squad, if you understand where I'm coming from? And especially, I don't know if you saw it, well, you probably did it with after the Wolves game, after Wolves beat Leeds, Radrizzani went on Twitter and started complaining about how FA need to look into financial fair play at Wolves, and basically slating how Wolves is run. And it sent quite marder and quite pathetic, really, how, because he hasn't got the money and he doesn't want to spend as much money as what another club, a rival club in the division is, he's taking it to Twitter and being quite pathetic. And it seems quite like small club mentality from what I think anyway. And like I said, with Leeds history, As much as you need to live in the present and not the past, you need to run. If you want to become a big club, you need to run your club as you are a big club. And I don't think Leeds are getting that. And as much as I'm enjoying seeing Leeds' downfall, I don't think it's very good. And I think it's a lot due down to how the club's being run.
Yeah, completely agree with what you said there. I think, you know, as we mentioned, over the last sort of few years, it has turned into a bit of a circus, really. You know, the chopping and changing of the managers and, you know, people above the manager having an influence on signing the players. And, you know, as we said, it seems like a real mess at the moment, and it's not going to be a quick fix for them. But to sort of move on a bit more to the sort of the foot of the table, obviously we touched on Birmingham's fantastic win sort of earlier on as we were covering the results. The race, or sort of the race to avoid relegation, as it were, at the moment is really heating up. You know, there's probably, I'd say, six or seven teams definitely that are, you know, sort of in and around there. Probably up to about sort of Sheffield Wednesday, I reckon. You should be safe, Louis, sort of looking at the table after that win. Hopefully you can sort of put a run together. Yeah, I just wanted to get your guys' thoughts, obviously. Sunderland looked dead and buried at the moment. Sort of seeing Preston play them yesterday, you know, they looked like the Preston team did that went down to League One about 6 years ago now. Sort of a group of players who don't look interested. They look like they're just turning up to pick up a wage at the moment. And, you know, they desperately need sort of a clear out and almost a refresh and a reset and then sort of to go again. Obviously, that was compounded by the news with Darren Gibson yesterday, not even turning up for the game, crashing his car on the way in after being over the influence, which, you know, is disappointing from a personal point of view for him, but, you know, just further highlights the problems that are going on at Sunderland. So, sort of to kind of take them out of the equation, obviously you've got the likes of Burton, Birmingham, Barnsley, Reading, Bolton and Hull at the moment. Who do you sort of see, first of all, steering clear of that and sort of getting away? And which teams do you see getting dragged down into the relegation zone if they aren't already in there at the moment? Start with you first on this, Louis. Who would be, and hopefully from your point of view, it's not Sheffield Wednesday, but who would you see as the teams at the moment that are really struggling?
Well, I'll start with, like you said, you mentioned Wednesday there. I was concerned and I was becoming concerned with each game. But after yesterday's victory, that should be enough to, you know, consequently not even consider us going down anymore. And that's, like I said before, simply because all the teams at the bottom are just not picking up points whatsoever. So let's start with Sunderland. Like you said, they're doomed for me, down, dead and buried. Let's forget about them. I think they're gone. Burton are down there. I think they don't have enough. I really think that even such as Burton can't pick up enough points to stay up for the remainder of the season. Birmingham City, obviously, I touched on. I think they really brought in Gary Monk at a decent time. Like Lewis touched on, though, I also thought it'd have been better if he'd have come a few games sooner. But having said that, I think they really will have enough in them for me to think that they should stay up. The team that I really fear for is actually Barnsley. The problem with Barnsley, you know, it'd be a shame for Barnsley to go down. And I know, obviously, they've had the investment, but they just really lack quality. And I think with, obviously, like I said, Birmingham, I think they've got the ability to stay up in the league this season. That for me, would mean that Barnsley would fall into that third place spot of relegation. And I think, although Reading are struggling, I think that they've just got enough to tick by and be okay, even if it means that they only pick up another 4 or 5 points in the remainder of the season. And even so, I also, you know, expect Yapstam to be probably sacked quite soon. If it's not now, it'll probably be at the end of the season also. So if I were going to, you know, stick my neck out and pick the three teams to go down, like I say, Sunderland, Burton Albion, and I really fear, like I say, for Barnsley, I think they'll finish 22nd and end up in League One next season, which would be a shame. But like I mentioned, I really think Birmingham will just have enough to scrape a couple of points more than Barnsley and escape that relegation spot.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, I completely agree with what you said there. I think Barnsley definitely are lacking that sort of quality to really get them out. Obviously, we touched on Birmingham earlier. They, you know, spent a bit of money in the summer and, you know, some of the players like Jota, for example, look like if they turn up on the day, they can sort of claw them to safety. The sort of real issue with Barnsley, obviously, apart from the lack of quality in the squad at the moment, you know, one win in 13 is relegation form. You know, their only win actually came against Birmingham in the last sort of 13, and then you have to go as far back as New Year's Day where they won 1-0 away at Sunderland for their sort of last win after that. So two wins in 14 is, you know, really sort of alarming from their point of view. Obviously they've had the investment now, and maybe sort of going down, giving the owners a chance to sort of clear out the sort of the high earners, resetting, and, you know, hopefully giving it a good go then. Similar to Sunderland to some extent. Obviously, I don't think their problems are nowhere near as big as the problems Sunderland have, but, you know, it gives them sort of a fresh start, and the owners, sort of know exactly where they're coming from then to try and get back up into the Championship. So I think definitely for me, they'd be the team that, you know, would at the moment, unless they can drastically turn it around, be that third team to go down. I think Sunderland, as you said, Louis, completely gone at the moment, barring, you know, a miracle. I don't think they'll get out of it. I think Burton, you know, they play some nice football at times, but I do think, you know, even staying up last season for them was a success. And, you know, the amount of money that's floating around in the league these days, I don't think, you know, they can really compete. So while it will be sad to see them go from sort of a nice footballing story point of view, I do think that they probably will just sort of go down. I reckon they'll finish second bottom, and then obviously, as I've said, Barnsley would be the sort of the third team for me that would go down. Who would be your three, Lewis's?
Yeah, I think there's a bit of a recurring theme going on with us three. Great minds think alike, I suppose. But yeah, Barnsley for me. I think it's just all down to you looking at the teams on paper, really. You've got Birmingham who haven't performed all season under three, well, this is the third boss now, and I think Monk's definitely a manager who he's got his Championship experience, and albeit he hasn't been in a Championship relegation battle before, he has been in the Premier League, and so he knows what it takes to keep the team up. And I think maybe he hasn't got a lot of time, but we saw after that 3-0 win, he's getting his thoughts across, and winning against one of the other rivals, it's a good victory. And with Barnsley, obviously they lost to Millwall, was it 2-0, which you can't really do nothing, know much about Millwall at the moment. Millwall for me have really gone under the radar, but that's another point. Barnsley, after losing Heckingbottom, it's a massive loss for them, and I know Heckingbottom's form, like coming to the end of him taking the Leeds job, didn't look impressive. I think out of the last something like nine games, he'd only won one or two games, something like that. But I think if Barnsley were to keep up, I think the appointment in, is it Jose Mari? I think your first job in English football, it's a tough task to ask of him. And if he can turn it around and start a better run of form, then I think they'll probably might stay up, but I think more likely it's going to be them or Birmingham battle face the drop, and I just think Birmingham have got a lot more on paper than Barnsley have.
Yeah, completely agree with all the points that you've made there, sort of to add on to ours. I think, you know, the only real sort of saving grace for them could be the form of Ollie McBurney. You know, whether he can keep on scoring, you know, remains to be seen. But that looks like the only glimmer of hope that they've got at the moment. And, you know, hopefully sort of for them and Rob, who comes on the podcast, they can turn it around. But, you know, sort of the form table speaks for itself. And, you know, it'll remain to be seen over the last sort of eight games or so how they fare. But obviously next week, there's no games with the international break coming up. I just wanted to get your sort of two thoughts. Obviously, you mentioned earlier, Lewis, that some of your players look a bit tired at the moment. Do you think the international break has come at the right time for you just sort of to regroup a bit and then give it sort of a good go then over the last sort of month and a half of the season?
Yeah. I think it's come at a perfect time for us. A lot of our first team is like Chris Basham didn't play against Forest due to fitness, who's more or less started every game. And just giving players like Jack O'Connell a rest, who has started every game this year, will be good for the team. And obviously, coming off some of our results in the past five games, something's definitely up. I don't know whether it's squad morale, but we're really hit and miss. We come into a game, like I said, against Ipswich, narrowly miss out on a victory, but the performance is there, and you can see there's a desire to get back into that top six. Same with the win against Burton. Okay, Burton aren't the best team, but a 2-0 win against a team that needs 3 points, it gives you a bit of glimmer of hope that we can push forward and get back into that top six. But like our loss against Hull, the 0-0 draw yesterday, it's not convincing at all. And personally, I think unless we can, I'll still think it'll go down to the last two games with Preston and Bristol being being those whether we're still in the race come then. But yeah, it definitely comes at a good time for us just to get all the players refreshed, and hopefully Chris Wilder can nail a bit harder into him. Not that he doesn't already, but hopefully we can get a bit of change out of him and really push forward into the last 8 games, is it? And hopefully get back into the playoffs.
Yeah, you mentioned there, obviously, second to last game, we go to Bramall Lane. You know, for us, that seems to be one of our bogey grounds. We never really seem to do well there, apart from the FA Cup replay a few years ago where we managed to win and get Man United in the next round, which sort of really turned our League One season around and sort of subsequently saw us get promoted. Do you think that that'll be the game, sort of with the way the table looks at the moment, unless Middlesbrough sort of pull away, do you reckon that'll be the game out of the two of us that'll sort of decide which team will potentially break into the playoffs?
Yeah, I do think that. Well, earlier in the season, I looked at the Bristol game on the last game and I thought that would be the deciding game. But then we pulled off out of form, Bristol pulled off out of form, so I honestly don't really know. Hopefully we can get a result on Middlesbrough. So Middlesbrough are out of the... It's just too very tight at the minute. And I think it's one of... Well, it's always tight. It's always as tight as this. But when you're actually in the... When you're actually in the playoff run, it just feels a bit tighter. But if we can get a good run of form, because definitely Preston's not a team I'm looking forward to, because it's will come up like against the more free flowing attacking teams. Not that I'm saying Preston aren't free flowing and attacking, but Alex Neil's embedded it to be more structured, very, very well organised at the back. And I think that's where we struggle with. We struggle to break down teams easily. And If it comes down to it, and we're both still 1 or 2 points away from each other, it's going to be a really, really good game, which will be amazing to watch. But we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, definitely. I think our last game of the season's at home, Burton, which, you know, touch wood, sort of not from their point of view, but hopefully they're sort of down by then and not sort of scrapping on the last day to stay up, and you know, we can hopefully sort of put in a performance. So I do think, sort of looking on paper at the moment, that Sheffield United game is obviously, there's no easy games in the Championship, but on paper that looks to be our hardest game left between now and the end of the season. We've got quite a lot of the sort of the relegation threatened and mid-table teams sort of coming up. I think Derby are the only other team sort of in the top eight that we have to play, and that's at home, and you know, they're not in the best of form at the moment. So definitely the one that we're all looking to is that Sheffield United game. Obviously the game after the international break for us is Sheffield Wednesday, which I know we'll cover in a bit, Louis. But sort of going on to the international break, from your point of view, has it come at the wrong time after that win against Leeds, or have you sort of welcomed it as a chance to sort of get players back fit and give everyone a rest?
Exactly that. I think it's come at a perfect time, just like Lewis mentioned, for United. You know, this is the first time, remember as well, that Jos Luukai's probably had 2 weeks to actually get into his head that he's, you know, got a job to do and he's the Wednesday manager now, etc. Because, you know, he jumped straight into the Steel City derby fixture with only, you know, with 5 days to prepare. So this is, like I say, a 2 week break for him. You know, it gives us the opportunity to recoup. I know we beat, obviously, Leeds United, and, you know, you'd say that could put us on a bit of good run of form. But if I'm honest, like you've just mentioned, we've got that many players out returning from injury. You know, Tom Lees has come back. He looks like Bannon's in the first team now. A couple of strikers looking to return potentially as well. So when it does eventually get to the end of March, we shouldn't be in a relegation fight whatsoever now. So with the remaining games left, I think that all we can look forward to is going to watch Sheffield Wednesday, and hopefully they play with a bit of pride and dignity to just give us at least something to be proud of them about this season, you know, and whether that means just winning, you know, 4 or 5 games this season, then I'd be quite happy to potentially finish around, you know, 15th, 16th in this league, and then look forward to next season. So that's, like I said, that's the only thing us fans have got to look forward to this season. But I think it has come at a good time, simply because before the Leeds game, we were in such terrible form. It was, you know, we'd only won one league game before the Leeds United victory this year. So I think it's good, like I say, for Lukai to recoup his troops. Obviously, they've got a potential to have, you know, training sessions and, you know, without fixtures, you know, increased fitness levels. So it's definitely come at the right time. And now we've essentially safe in this league. Let's just go out with, you know, and play with a bit of pride and dignity, like I say. So I'll look forward to the Preston game in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think sort of personally from a Preston point of view, it's kind of a mixed bag for us. Obviously, it's come at the right time for some of the players who won't be going away on international duty. Players like obviously Paul Gallagher, Tom Barkhuizen, Callum Robinson have all looked a bit sort of jaded over the last couple of weeks. So for them to get a rest, you know, that's going to be vital for them come the running. So the only real concern I've got is obviously the amount of Irish players that we have in the squad at the moment, and they've all seemed to have been called up. We've got four players who've been called up to the Ireland squad, and, you know, Sean Maguire's just come back from, I think it was sort of 4.5 months out injured. He's played sort of a handful of games for us, scored five goals in four games since he's been back. And, you know, I was looking at the international breakers, give him a good sort of week or so off, get him fully back fit for the running, and, you know, hopefully he can carry on that form then into the last sort of month and a bit of the season. But, you know, with scoring those goals, obviously comes the international recognition, and he's back into the Ireland squad for, you know, two friendlies over the next week or so, which, you know, from a personal point of view for him, delighted for him to get into the Ireland squad. But as a selfish Preston fan, I want to sort of wrap him in cotton wool for these next 2 weeks, and, you know, have him fully back fit for that Sheffield Wednesday game. We never sort of seem to do well when we go to either of the Sheffield teams, so we need sort of the whole squad absolutely on it. And my only concern is that he picks up, you know, a reoccurrence of the injury or something like that in the two games for Ireland. So fingers crossed he doesn't and he comes back fit and, you know, even more match fit from playing the two games would be sort of the positive way of looking at it. But, you know, I'll be sat there with bated breath making sure he is all right for these 2 weeks and he can carry on that form for us into the last eight games of the season. But sort of mentioning that Preston-Sheffield Wednesday game, obviously it's just under 2 weeks off now. It's been played on Good Friday, so about sort of 10-11 days time. Obviously, it's a bit too early to sort of preview the game as a whole, but how do you sort of see, especially with the manner that you obviously beat Leeds United, Louis, how do you sort of see the game going and what would be your prediction for the game?
It's a funny one because obviously with the international break and 2 weeks off, all form kind of goes out of the window. So it's in that sense, it will be difficult to predict. And the good thing, like I mentioned, for us, we're going to have a lot of key players returning. So given another couple of weeks' time, I'd expect a few of those to be starting, you know, in the starting 11. I think Preston, obviously, you're fighting for that playoff spot. So you need to come and really push for the victory. And if I'm honest, like, you know, I don't know if you agree with me, James, but coming to Hillsborough and probably going away with a point is not quite good enough at this stage of the season for you, whereas we'd probably be quite happy with that because potentially now we've got not a lot to play for other than the, you know, the pride, like I mentioned earlier. Obviously, I'm a big fan of Maguire and Preston this season. And if I'm completely honest, I would love for yourself, James, and Preston, because I've enjoyed watching them this season. I would love them to scrape sixth position. And I think Alex Neil's doing a fantastic job. And am I also right in thinking that they haven't lost on the road since November?
Is that that's right, yeah.
Yeah, so having said that, I think, like I say, it's difficult because form goes out of the window with the break, but I think it'll be an entertaining game and I'm going to predict a 2-2 draw. I don't know whether you'd agree with me on that one, but I think, like I say, we can go out there. We've got nothing to lose at the minute because, you know, we're just, like I say, playing for a bit of pride and, you know, yourselves, I think you've really got to go at us and go for the win. There's no reason why you can't beat us, but because we've got the home advantage, I'm going to say it'll be an entertaining 2-2.
Yeah, I completely agree with you sort of on a couple of points. I think any other time of the season and sort of any other season, going to Hillsborough and coming away with like a score draw or a draw in general would be a fantastic result, especially from our point of view. But I think, yeah, as you said, at this stage of the season, you know, we've had 15 draws this season. We need to start turning those draws into wins now, and, you know, points and good performances, you know, can't really cut it anymore with us sort of playing catch up on the playoffs now. I think even if we went there and sort of won ugly and, you know, scraped a 1-0 win, I'd be more than delighted. Sort of what surprised me this season especially is our away form. You know, we're second in the away form table, but then 13th in the home form. And over the last few years, it's sort of been the other way around. So sort of it's strange to say, but I feel more confident going into away games at the moment, sort of as of this season, than I do going into the home games, where I think the way Alex Neil has us set up, our play sort of really suits that high press for teams that come out and attack us and then we can hit them on the break. Whereas the majority of teams that come to Deepdale, seeing our position in the league, will sort of give us a bit of respect and sit back, and we find it quite hard to break teams down sort of that way when we don't have space to exploit in behind. So hopefully from our point of view, you, as you mentioned, come out, you know, you've got nothing to lose. Hopefully you come and attack us and try and bring the game to us, and we can sort of exploit those spaces that you'll sort of leave at the back. Sort of fingers crossed from our point of view, that's what happens. But yeah, as I said, it's really down to that crunch sort of time of the season now, where especially if you are playing catch up for the playoffs, nothing but, you know, 3 points will do, really. So fingers crossed we can go there and, you know, get a result. I'll be going to the game, so, you know, hopefully I'm travelling back then over the Pennines back to Manchester with a smile on my face and sort of the gap close to the playoffs. Especially sort of to go on to your game, Lewis, you've got a tricky looking trip down to Brentford, one of those grounds for Preston that is a real bogey ground, as well as the two Sheffield teams. We always seem to get absolutely hammered there, and it's quite sad to say, because it's probably my favourite away day sort of on the sort of the Championship fixture list over the last couple of years, and, you know, they'll be changing grounds in the summer. How do you sort of see the game going, and what would be your sort of score predictions for the game?
Yeah, it's obviously, I think they're only 4 points off us in the league. So, well, I wouldn't necessarily put them in the playoff race, but you put a couple wins together and they could be up there. So it's going to be a difficult one to get a win in. The only that, like I said, with a positive with the international break, David Brooks has just come back from injury, which has seemed to have been all season. He's straight been thrown back into the Wales under 21 setup. So hopefully he can get some game time. Obviously, hopefully he doesn't get injured, but it'd be nice to see him get some game time. Maybe get a goal or two, and then that might fire him up. Get his match fitness back up. So He can start for us against Brentford, because I think we're definitely going to have to change something up with the system. I hope with a nice 2 week break, I hope Wilder really gets his noggin working and maybe try something new. It seems quite disappointing where we are in the league table comparing to where we started, but with all regards, our first season back in the Championship to be in a playoff race is absolutely incredible. So as long as we go to Brentford, and at this point in the season, if we get playoffs, it'd be fantastic. But I just want to go to away games. I want to go to Bramall Lane. And I just want to know that those players are fighting for it. And because on paper, we shouldn't be where we are. Us fans know that. The players probably know that. We've played really well this season, and players like Mark Duffer, they've come out of nowhere really, and really shone in the Championship for the first time in their career really. So if we can just go to Brentford, players like Mark Duffy, John Fleck, Billy Sharp, just get firing, and if we're on our day, then there's not many teams in the division this season certainly that can match us. So If we're on our day and we've got our heads together, I will predict a win. So I'm going to say a 2-1 win, because I don't think Brentford Brentford are a good team, but like I said, they're not as organised as like your likes of Preston. So I think it'll be easier for us to break them down because they seem quite more of an attacking team. They push a lot of men forward like we do. And I think we should get the better of that. So yeah, I'll say 2-1 to us.
Yeah, I think definitely it'll be a sort of a good game. I think probably looking at the fixtures, that'll be one of the games of the weekend. So, you know, hopefully from your point of view, you can come away with the win. But sort of as a Preston point of view, you know, we're breathing down your necks at the moment. So hopefully it can be a game where you slip up a little. But with that, we're out of time. Cheers for joining me today, guys. If both of you want to let everyone know where they can find you or any projects that you're involved in, now would be a good time.
Yeah, so my name is Louis Shackshaft. I'm a Sheffield Wednesday fan. You can find me on Twitter at Louis Shackshaft or visit my website, louisshackshaft.com, where all my blogs, articles, Sheffield Wednesday stats, etc. I'm currently doing a piece on Ati Nuiu and if he's shown enough to deserve a new contract in the summer, so you can check that in the week also.
Yeah, and I'm Lewis Hobbs. You can find me on Twitter at @_LH9_, where I talk about everything Sheffield United, and you'll be able to find a lot of my work there.
Yeah, and as I mentioned at the start, you can find me on my Twitter, which is @_James Vickers, where I mainly tweet about Preston North End and everything Bundesliga and Borussia Dortmund as well. So definitely check me out if you're interested in any of them. And you can reach us mainly at the show at Championship Pod on Twitter, where, you know, there's weekly polls and things to get involved in, and we'll also post the link to each new episode on there. So give us a follow and you won't miss any new episodes. But cheers for joining me today, guys. Hopefully you both enjoy the international break and take sort of a week or so away from the madness that is the Championship, and we'll all come back sort of refreshed after it. Cheers for joining us.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.